inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lee.
Different people buy rental properties for all kinds of reasons. David, why did you start buying rentals?
Well, I really started buying rental properties because I wanted to have financial independence so I could live and work anywhere in the world and not have to worry about my income. But the problem was I didn't have any money to start with, and I was living in Africa at the time.
He had a lot of challenges, but he worked through it, he figured it out, and today his rental properties have given him the financial independence that he was looking for. Today on the show, we're going to figure out exactly how he did it. Joining us from Chattanooga, Tennessee, is David Grabiner. We'll take a really quick break. We'll come right back and we'll meet David. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. David, so let me make sure I have the facts right. So today you don't work full time. You support yourself 100% off your rental income.
That is correct.
Now,
yes.
Does your wife work?
No, she doesn't. She hasn't worked in over 3 years.
Incredible. So the rentals are supporting your family 100%.
That's correct.
Now, did you get a big inheritance or come into a large sum of money before you started investing?
No, not at all.
Okay. And did you have a high-paying job before you started investing?
No, I did not. In fact, in my entire life, I've never made from an actual like paycheck more than a household income of $54,000.
Incredible. Okay, so let's talk about how you did this. So when you decided you were going to start buying rental properties, what was the first step?
So the first step really, it kind of came down to mindset and getting my finances under control. I started listening and reading Mr. Money Mustache and realizing I need to be able to save money and live frugally so that I can then in the future live how I want to live.
Okay.
And so my first step was basically controlling my finances.
So did you just start saving like crazy? I know Mr. Money Mustache is a big time saver. So did you just cut your expenses as much as you could to save as much as you possibly could?
Well, yeah, essentially I made a plan. I was like, okay, I need to save this amount of my paycheck. Okay, if I can use this much for this much for this much. And I mean, it took sacrifice and, you know, we didn't do all the other things that maybe we wanted to do, but we weren't as extreme as Mr. Money Mustache. But yeah, we ended up saving out of my $54,000, $30,000 a year, I decided to save.
Let me make sure I got that right. So you made $54,000 and you saved $30,000?
That is correct. And I was working overseas in Africa, so I had a foreign earned income exclusion, so I didn't have any payroll taxes or any income taxes whatsoever.
Okay.
So it was a real, you know, I got all the money, but I saved 30 of it.
Did you have living expenses over there, or was that covered?
No, I did have a place to live that was provided, but all other expenses I needed to cover.
All right, so you didn't have a housing payment, but so you had to buy food and just basic expenses. Okay. All right, so you saved up 30 grand. Was that just for 1 year, or did you save over multiple years?
No, I did that. I mean, that was the first goal over 1 year, but I did that for about 3 years.
Okay, so you had $90,000 saved. And then, so you weren't investing in rentals during that time, or were you?
No, I started the search of, at the same time as I decided to save money, I started the search to find rental properties.
Okay.
So, yeah, about halfway into that first year of saving is when I got my first rental property.
Okay. Now, before you bought the property, you decided you wanted to do a partnership. So how did that work?
So it was really interesting. Like I said, I was living in Africa. I was a hospital administrator in the Congo. And it's not really easy to buy property in the U.S. while you're over there. I mean, there's no way to sign documents. I mean, I would have, it was a mess. And they wouldn't believe any of my income either, because I make it over there, no one can verify it. So the banks aren't going to believe me.
Right.
So that's a huge disadvantage. Now, how am I going to overcome that? And the way I decided to overcome that was to partner up with my dad, who was also thinking about investing in real estate at the time.
Perfect.
And he lived in the States.
Now, did your dad have any real estate experience, or was he brand new to it also?
No, he had no experience either. He was brand new. And we both kind of just like dove into learning together. And he'd be like, hey, check this book out. I'd be like, oh, check out this podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. So then you decided you were going to do it. And then with you being over there, I guess you were relying on him to be kind of your boots on the ground to look at properties and do a lot of the local hands-on stuff.
That's correct. He would have to go see the property, he'd have to talk to the bank, and when we started buying properties, he ended up managing them as well, even though he had a full-time job.
Okay.
But I would actually, my job was kind of to go over the numbers. I mean, he would too, but we would go back and forth over the numbers, and I also found most of the deals as well. I would search, like by day I would be working, and by night I would be searching for properties.
Okay. And then what about the money part? So were you 50-50 partners in that you were going to each put in half of the down payment?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly how it worked.
Awesome. Now, let me ask you this. So with you being younger and your dad being older, you're kind of at different places in life where you probably had a much higher risk tolerance because you're younger, and if things went bad, you've got plenty of time to recover, where your dad's older and doesn't have as much time if things go bad. So was that an issue at all with trying to get things started?
You know, that never really was an issue, because how we were just, he just had faith and I had faith in how we were running the numbers, and it didn't seem so risky to him or to me.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
Maybe naively so.
Yeah. But. Well, that's great. Did you put anything in writing or have any kind of formal agreement before you started?
When we went to buy our first quadplex for $125,000, which is amazing to get a quadplex for $125,000. Anyways, we put together an agreement. And basically, it said that we'd be 50-50 partners. You know, we would take all the costs for running it out of the money that was there. We would put 10% aside for maintenance. We would put 10% aside for vacancy every month. And then he would get a 5% management fee. And that any other cost above $500, we would discuss before they were done. And then if anyone wanted us out, then we would either sell or the other person would buy them out. We kind of had a description on how we would do that.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that, because partnerships can be pretty tricky, and especially with family. That's good that it seems like you kind of figured everything out up front. So tell me about that first quadplex. So you said it was $125,000. Did it need any work, or did you have tenants in there? Give me some details on it.
So it was a quadplex that another investor had bought and fixed up and put tenants in. And so we were buying, it's kind of like a small turnkey. We just bought it directly from the investor before he even listed it. And it was great as a first property because it was mostly all fixed up. And we even got him to give us a one-year warranty on the work.
Awesome.
That was my idea to put in the contract. And then now the tenants were in there. They were actually at under market value and rent because he was just trying to fill it up really quickly. So we ended up moving out a lot of those tenants pretty quickly, but it was nice that it was filled right away, and we started making money from day one.
So then how long did it take? Because you're obviously you're looking for freedom, so I assume you wanted to buy multiple properties with your dad. So how long did it take before you bought your second property?
Ooh, our second property was, I believe, just over a year after we bought the first one.
Okay. Awesome. And tell me about that property.
Yeah. So that property actually is a duplex, and it was a good duplex. We just got it off the MLS, and it had three bedrooms on each side, and we got it for $117,000. Also was full. So no really issues there. And there was just a little bit of repairs that needed to be done. And we got those done pretty quickly as well.
So as you saved up money, you just bought a property. So that was kind of the strategy that you were following in those early days?
Yeah, in the early days, it was like, okay, I'm saving my money. My dad's saving his money. When we got enough saved up, okay, we got to buy a property. We find one, we buy it. You know, we go over the sheet together and say, oh, does this meet our requirements? Yes, it does. Okay, let's go for it.
That's great.
I would basically go broke every time we bought a property. I would just save up my money and then all the money would go into the purchase.
Wow. And how many properties did you buy that way?
So we got up to 24 units.
Okay.
Awesome. Most of them were either duplexes or quadplexes.
Okay.
And we had one single family, but we had 24 units that we did that way. We had one, in those 24 units, we were able to actually refinance the quadplex and pull out some money. So that helped us accelerate a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that was the only thing we did creatively in the first 24 units. Other than that, we were just saving up. And none of us during all that time, and that was like 3 years, neither of us took any money out of the business.
Okay.
We could have, but we didn't. We just reinvested.
So you would save whatever profit you had, and then you would put that towards buying the next property?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Now, what did your wife think about this? You know, you guys are just scrimping by, not spending any money. You're buying these rentals. The rentals aren't making you any money. Did she see your long-term vision, or was that a struggle for you?
So I am so blessed. I never would have been able to do this without my wife. And she has been so supportive, honestly. She's the one who even introduced me to Mr. Money Mustache. She was like, oh, you need to read this. So she kind of put me on the path. And she has been along the way completely supportive. Not that she actually works on the business, but she works like saving us money. And all that time, she was like, yeah, we can do this. And we can go on this vacation for less. And everything. It was always about saving money so that we could reinvest, even though we weren't seeing the benefits of it at the time. She believed that we would see them in the future.
So how long did it take before you started to see the benefits?
So I still haven't really taken any money out of the business besides my management fee that since I've been managing it for the last 3 years. So I don't know. It's just kind of a thing. Like I've just been always just reinvesting it. But the management fee itself has just grown so much that I don't really miss the profits or anything like that.
So so 3 years ago, you moved back to the States and then you took over from your dad?
That is correct. What happened was my dad, while I was over in Africa, my dad got diagnosed. They said he had a tumor on his liver. And they gave him like 4 to 6 months to live.
Oh, no.
And it was so difficult because I was over there and I was like, okay, we're going back. And we bought a ticket and we were going to fly back. It was like in like 3 weeks, the soonest ticket we could find that was reasonable was like in 4 weeks. I was like, well, we're going to go back. I'm going to sell all the properties. We're going to try to find a solution for him, whether, you know, whatever it is, we're going to make it happen. And at the time, I realized, you know, it was such a blessing that I was able to do it with my dad because since we were sending spreadsheets back and forth, we would always be emailing and talking about properties, you know, and I got to be closer with him. So it was nice that I had that. And then I was like, oh no, it's going to be taken away from me.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go back and he got misdiagnosed by like three doctors. And finally he went to a fourth one and they did another CT scan and they said, no, actually he doesn't have a tumor. It's just a portion of his liver has shrunk because of this other disease that he has. So he has a disease, but he's not going to die right away.
Oh, that is such great news.
Yeah, wow. It was. Yeah. So, but then I decided, okay, I still want to come back to be closer to my family so he could be with my kids because he does have this, you know, health condition just in case something does happen. And so a year after he got misdiagnosed, that's when I came back and decided to come live close to him and just do real estate full time.
Okay. So then he handed the torch over to you and now you're managing all the properties?
Yes.
Okay. So, and are you guys still buying properties today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Awesome. And so where are you today? How many doors do you have right now?
So right now I have 137 multifamily doors, and then I have two commercial properties, which have a total of 14 pretty big tenants in them.
So how did you do that? I mean, like, so are you still doing the same thing where you're just saving every possible penny, or did you find another way to finance the properties?
Well, here's the great thing when you have a partnership, right? You can play ideas off of each other. You can become more creative and you can test out theories when you talk to each other. So that's helpful, number one. And also helpful, number two, you have different strengths that you can lean on. So I came over and I started managing it, and I started really managing it pretty well. So it became very profitable. In addition to that, I got really tied into the local real estate investing economy and people and network. So I started to be able to find a lot more deals because I was in town. Mm-hmm. And the benefit with my dad is he has, you know, his experience and his reputation, where people, you know, look up to him and know that he is good with money and sees what we're doing in real estate, and they trust him to give him money to invest in real estate. So he started finding people who wanted to invest in real estate, and we would use their money and bring them in as minority equity partners, and then we were just able to scale from there exponentially.
So you were borrowing the down payment from your investors.
Yes.
So today, are you still putting your own money into deals, or is it your investors that are coming up with the down payments?
Yeah, most of the stuff, especially the bigger stuff, it will be investors. Only when I buy something small, like tomorrow I'm closing on a duplex and it's $135,000, and I'm just going to buy it cash, and then I'll refinance with the bank and basically pull all my cash out anyways. So I have like some arrangement with some local banks that I'm able to do that. So for a small deal like that, I don't even borrow the money. I just basically get all cashed out from the bank. But when it's a bigger deal and I need the down payment, I'm bringing in investors for their for them to pay the down payment.
And the way that you're making money is that you charge a management fee. So you're getting paid a management fee off every door that you own?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
So
what I live off of.
Okay. Basically. So what do you charge? Like, is it 5% or 8% or something like
8%.
That? 8%. Okay. So you get 8% of all the rents as your management fee. And then what about whatever profit there is? Like, do you take out any money today as profit, or are you still reinvesting all that?
So it's kind of now we're in the transition period, because we had like borrowed money from other investors, and so all the profit was going to like pay off, you know, certain like loans we had and everything like that. We wanted to make sure those all got paid off. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, this is the first year when we're like, oh wow, we have money building up here in our profit. And so this year my dad took some, and I took some when I bought a new house. I took a little bit for that. But we're really coming at the end of this year, we're going to have to decide like, okay, like, cause my mom retired and my dad's probably going to retire next year. And so, yeah, we'll probably start taking some of the profits. Okay.
So
we don't really need it to reinvest anymore.
So your dad, is he looking at the rental properties for kind of retirement income, or like it seems like you're getting a lot of work, obviously managing the portfolio, but it seems like you're getting a lot more of the benefit because you're getting the management fee. So like, what is your dad getting out of this?
Oh no, there's quite a bit of profit and cash flow still in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's definitely got more than enough for his retirement.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
And me too, right? Because I have 50%, so I have more than enough as well.
Right. Okay.
I could very, very happily, you know, turn it over to, well, I wouldn't necessarily be happy because I haven't found the right property management company. But if I could find someone to manage it for 8% and do it how I do it, then I would be completely happy. I just hand it over to them. I mean, if my dad wanted to manage it for 8%, I'd just give it over to him.
Yeah.
And then I would just live off of the profit. Yeah.
So
there's enough.
Is it kind of a full-time job? I mean, that's a lot of doors. Is it a lot of work? Like, are you constantly getting phone calls for maintenance stuff or just various tenant issues?
It's like part-time all the time. It's kind of how I say it. I'm completely flexible. So if I need to stay home and my wife needs to go do something, take the kids to a doctor appointment or whatever, I can do that. I work from home most of the day, but I am kind of on call. And I even go on vacations too. Like every year, I take at least a month of vacation where I'm away. So it's not like you can't just get away. Right. It's just that every once in a while, I have to take a phone call.
Right.
Or I have to answer a text message.
So it sounds like it's fairly easy. Like the management doesn't seem like it's really that hard.
It's not. I don't know why people think it's so hard, to tell you the truth. I don't know why. Like I talk to property management companies and they talk about how many, like they have to have a manager for every 50 units or something like that, or every 100 units. And I'm like, man, that's kind of crazy to me. But it's just really not that hard. If the two things, if you have a good product, so you're not buying in the really low class areas and you have a lot of the headaches, good working class product. And if you keep it full,
right?
So if you keep it full and you have a good product, when things are full, there's hardly, I mean, maybe I get like probably like 3 or 4 phone calls a day, maybe, that I have to deal with.
Right. You know, the other thing that's coming to mind too is the condition of your properties, that without knowing anything about your properties, I imagine there, you probably have a quality product you're putting out there where you probably don't have a lot of repairs. Like, so is the condition of your properties pretty good?
Yeah, for the most part, they are pretty good. I have one set that has still some older stuff, like, you know, the older ACs and stuff that give me some headache and some older electrical. But I fix stuff right away and I fix it correctly. So I try to, you know, stop that. It's, you know, when you have the issues that you just ignore and it just gets worse and worse, and the tenants, you know, or the tenants don't tell you about issues and they just build on each other. But I definitely like having duplexes or apartment complexes that are in good condition. And if they're not, when the tenant moves out, I don't necessarily kick people out to make it nicer, but when they move out, okay, I want to bring it up to the condition that I like it in.
David, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story. David has a real interesting strategy, and I don't think we've talked to anybody on the podcast that is paying himself quite the way that David is. I think taking an 8% management fee to pay yourself kind of like a salary out of the rents, and then with all the leftover money, using it to pay your mortgages, pay back your investors, and then pay for any repairs. And then whatever is left over, he splits that 50-50 with his dad. I think that's a real interesting way to pay yourself, and it seems like it's working out great for him. If anybody wants to check out David, he is on Instagram. I've got a link to his profile at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 283. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If David inspired you and you're ready to buy your first rental, or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something that'll work for you in your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday, and if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.